First, though, we are so happy on the program to welcome back to the show a great friend of downtown. He is an Emmy Award-winning writer, a terrific comedian as well, whose newest special is available for video on demand right now. It's called People Pleaser. Josh Gondelman joins us. Hello there, Josh.
Hey, Rich. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, congratulations on a terrific special. I watched it last week, and it was a blast.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. It really means a lot that you watched it and liked it. I feel that way about anybody that's watching it and enjoying it, though. There's so much out there for people to absorb.
So what was it like being back on stage with a live audience?
It was really exciting. I mean, like, you can kind of see it at the beginning of the special event, where I kind of start by just saying how nice it is to be around people, and it was really thrilling. I filmed it 1 month after coming back to live performance, after I was vaccinated. So, like, it was a real scramble to get ready, but it was really fun getting back on stage, and people were so enthusiastic to be out at shows. So many people came out after came up to me after the taping and after the shows I'd done to, like, get ready for it, just saying, like, wow, this was our first night out in a year and a half. And that felt really like heartwarming and special to me, that people came out for the first time and, like, have that memory of my show.
Now, did I read right that you recorded at the Tribeca Film Festival?
Yeah, it was cool. It was at this venue called Spring Studio, and they set up Comedy Dynamics, who produced it, set up the backdrop and everything and the lighting at the Tribeca Film Festival. So, and Tribeca is also doing an online screening of it for a limited time. So technically, it is a Tribeca Film Festival selection.
That is wonderful. Now, what was it like for you? Because I know from following you on social media, you've been pretty careful through all the COVID times. What was it like? Obviously, when you're on stage, you get that rush of the audience. Are you like me after you do those things? I'm like, okay, how many days has it been? All right, I'm 5 days out. I guess I didn't get anything.
Yeah, I've been really, you know, I, like, most times still when I go out to shows, I'll wear a mask until I'm on stage and then put it back on afterwards. So I am very a little cautious still. But fortunately, at Desus and Marrow, because of union regulations, we get tested a couple times a week, one PCR and one rapid at least. And so I feel very lucky to go, like, well, I've already had confirmation this week that I'm testing negative for COVID. But it was a whole, one of the first shows I did back, I was told it was an outdoor show in the back of a truck, and I pictured a pickup truck, but it was like an enclosed van with like 18 audience members.
Oh,
this is really immersion therapy for someone who hasn't been performing live for over a year.
Absolutely. We're talking with Josh Gondelman here on Danta. All right, I made note of a few things during the special I wanted to bring up. Now, I don't want to give anything away because I want people to watch it. It's so good. But can you briefly explain the difference between California sober and Massachusetts sober?
Sure. So California sober is like a real thing that people say. It's slang for people who don't drink any alcohol but do smoke weed, which I find to be an aspirationally relaxed lifestyle that I do not relate to at all. Coming from growing up in the Boston area, living in New York City for over a decade at this point, and Massachusetts sober, I've hypothesized, is what I feel more comfortable with, and it's the kind of person who might be legally ordered to not drink because they keep crashing their car into a Dunkin' Donuts. That's just the kind of sobriety that I relate to. It's just people who have been dragged, kicking, and screaming to it.
All right, can you explain what you have in common with Jason Momoa?
Sure, yeah. So a little while back, I've been thinking about this ever since. A little while back, Jason Momoa was running on the beach on vacation, and there are all these paparazzi photos of him. And normally he has the 6 abs, the high score for abs. And then in this case, he had the one big oval ab, like a sexy loaf of bread instead of a sexy pan of dinner rolls. And all these websites had headlines like, Jason Momoa is on the beach with his dad bod. And I was like, well, it is good to know that according to people who have described our bodies, Jason Momoa and I have the same body type. So that feels pretty good, honestly. I really feel like it's an upgrade for me.
Now, you have to feel good that you apparently are now making cameo appearances in the Sex Dreams of Friends.
It was just the one, and I did show up after the sexy part ended. But it's still, honestly, in middle of 2020, texting me that I was in a dream, I responded, I was like, just nice to be out of the house.
Can you explain the concept, and I love this, the difference between the term slumber number and body count?
Oh, sure. I just feel like people are so aggressive the way they talk about their sexual history. You know, body count is the phrase people they use, which is, it's a little much. You're not trying to leave that much carnage in your life, right? I just feel slumber number is like a much more gentle term. Makes it feel like you let the other person sleep in while you cook breakfast the next morning.
Yes, it's much more loving and sensitive.
Yeah, it's very tender. And not to shame anybody for what they're into, but I just feel like as an aggregate, we shouldn't talk about it as if it's a death toll.
You explained, and I think a lot of us feel this way, that you have learned some important opinions from your wife over the last several years.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I love to enjoy things with her, but there are so many things that she, because I love and trust her, she tells me, and I just, that's my opinion now. I think that is the way to go. For example, have I listened to a Fiona Apple album from front to back? Sadly, I have not. But do I believe that Fiona Apple is a genius? Yeah, absolutely, that's the case. And I think that if you love and trust your partner, it's just nice to know things now without having to learn them, because they just tell you, and that's your opinion.
And it makes it so much easier without the heavy lifting.
No heavy lifting, no research, no consideration. You just go, hey, you think it, and I trust you, so now I think it as well.
Yeah, my wife is a big fan of the series Outlander, both the books and the TV series, mm-hmm. and so now I love it, even though I've never seen it.
Yeah, hey, it's great. It's really, it's an escapist, it's exciting, it's sexy. What's not to love about this show that neither of us have ever seen?
Right. She tells me I'm buying it. Now, you have come up with, an outstanding description of yourself in the special, Josh. You say that you're medium smart.
Yeah, I think that's true. I like, my wife is a big reader, and I don't want to self-deprecate, because I feel like there's this culture that you see like on TV and on shows and movies and in ads of just like the husband being like the dumbest guy on the face of the earth, who's, you know, the detergent commercials was just like a guy who's never seen a washing machine before. And I feel like I'm medium smart. Like I think it's fun to go to a museum, even if I don't read the words at the museum. I just look at the physical stuff. That's medium smart. I'm not just, throwing rocks at an old mailbox or something for a good time.
The special was so good, but I don't know that I laughed harder than your description of the groomsman's toast.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I don't want to give the whole thing away.
No, don't.
Truly, every bridesmaid I've ever witnessed is like so sincere and heartfelt, and not to be like, like women do this and men do that, but I think the way we're socialized is like women are kind of given the good advice to like be sweet and heartfelt and thoughtful when they're talking about their friends, and every guy sounds like he's describing his worst enemy in every groomsman toast I've ever heard. Just the way you're talking about, you're like, his grandma's listening to this. Maybe she doesn't need to know why you call him, a gross name that I won't say on the radio.
And after watching, too, I'm convinced that every wedding needs a Michael Jackson impersonator.
Well, we certainly had one, and it was not on purpose, but it was pretty exceptional because we didn't tell anyone. Our DJ told us that he also did Michael Jackson, and I did not know what that meant, but I gave him the full green light to go ahead and do whatever that meant at our wedding, and he had a costume and did a dance, and we did not tell anyone that it was going to happen, so people were pretty surprised, and I don't know if I would say delighted, but I would say blown away.
Now, is that the strangest hidden talent that anyone has ever confided in you?
Gosh, I mean, I feel like he wasn't trying to hide it. That was the thing that I loved. He was just like, here's something I do. It's on the menu. You know, I think if he had actually surprised us with it at the wedding, for sure it would have been the most hilarious hidden talent. If he had just been like, probably they would like if I did this, and then put on the hat and the glove and done a dance.
All right, I'm ridiculously envious of your talent, but perhaps even more so of your shoe collection. I love your show shoes, but you just have the best shoes in the comedy business.
Thank you. I mean, very kind. You know, I came in, I'm just chasing the greats. Ron Funches, Jeffrey Lester, two of the great comedians with sneaker collections. But, like, truly, Desus and Mero, for whom I've worked for years, have, like, just astonishing collection. Like, Desus would have his on display behind him when we were shooting fully remotely during the early pandemic. And I feel like I'm in an arms race that I can't possibly win. Like, I feel like like Desus's sneaker collection is like the United States military, and I'm like the Estonian military.
Well, you wrote for several years for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, now at Desus and Mero. And look, the connection's pretty obvious to me that great comedy follows you wherever you go. Desus and Mero is such a terrific show.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to get to work with them and our whole wonderful staff. I've had, like, truly the good fortune of spending the last, like, almost 9 years now at going from one dream job just to the next dream job. And so it's really been, it's been so much fun.
What have you got going on for the summer?
We've got a few weeks off. I'm going on the road a little bit. I'm performing. I'm doing a couple Wait, Don't Tell Me live tapings, which I haven't done in a while, and I'm so excited for. I'm doing a little stand-up on the road. I'm taking a trip back to Boston to see my family and to do my friend Zach Sherwin runs a show called The Crossword Show. And it's you comedians solving a crossword puzzle live on stage with clues that he has created, and there's like a rap song through line for the whole thing. It's like really spectacular and so much fun. So I'm excited, you know, just excited to like perform a little more, tinker with some writing projects on my own, and just like really try to enjoy the nice weather.
That's fantastic. By the way, we love Wait, Don't Tell Me. We've had Paula Poundstone as a regular with us.
Oh, she's great.
We've had Tom Baudet on. We've had Tom Papa. We've had Bill Curtis on. But twist Peter Sagal's arm and tell him we need him here.
All right, I'll get him. I'll see him this week. I do. I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I mean, like, it is such an institution, and it's so funny because I think I knew that it was such a big deal when I got invited to start doing it. But my parents, who knew of the show, weren't regular. You know, weren't every week listeners, and I think they kind of came around a little bit more and listened more frequently because so many people they know were like, we just heard Josh on Wait, Don't Tell Me. This is like, he's made it finally.
I could not talk with you without asking about how Busy is doing.
She's doing okay. My wife Maris just took her out for her little afternoon walk. So they're on their way to the barber shop down the street where they keep dog treats stocked behind the counter and give her a little treat when she comes in every afternoon. And she's getting up there. She's almost 15. And so she kind of wobbles down the street and then doesn't have any teeth. They give her these little hard biscuits and she just stands there crushing it with her gums. Takes her about a minute and then she moseys on back home.
Well, glad to hear she's still hanging in there and doing well. Now, I watched People Pleaser on Apple Plus, but it's available on several platforms, right?
Definitely. You can get it on Apple Plus, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Vimeo. It's like most of the places where you can rent or buy video stuff a la carte is where it's housed now. So it might be a little broader even in a few months, but that's where people can find it now. It's like, and whichever one, people have been really nice. You know, people have been tweeting at me and texting like, what's the best for you? And I'm like, honestly, the best is just that you watch it and tell people if you like it.
Well, and that you should indeed. Don't wait around. Get to it this weekend. People Pleaser, Josh Gondelman's stand-up special. Josh, love the show, and it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us, and hope you have a great rest of your summer.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and have a good one.